नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायण ईश्वरालंबनं चित्तं कुर्वतो नन्यराधसः माया गुणमयी राजन् स्वप्नवत् प्रत्यलीयत ईश्वर
ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ओ महाराज परीक्षित, बिकॉज किंग रांतिदेव वॉज अ प्योर डिवोटी ऑलवेज कृष्णा कॉन्शियस एंड फ्री फ्रॉम ऑल मटीरियल डिजायर्स द लॉर्ड्स इल्यूजरी एनर्जी माया कुड नॉट एग्जिबिट हरसेल्फ बिफोर हिम ऑन द कॉन्ट्ररी फॉर हिम माया एंटायरली वैनिश्ड एग्जैक्टली लाइक अ ड्रीम। परपोर्ट As it is said, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hai Andhakar, Yaha Krishna Taha Nahi Mayar Adhikar. Just as there is no chance that darkness can exist in the sunshine in a pure Krishna conscious person, there can be no existence of Maya. The Lord Himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Devi Esha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya Mame Vaye Prapadyante Maya Metam Tarantite. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have understood unto me, surrendered unto me, can easily cross beyond it. If one wants to be free from the influence of Maya, the illusory energy, one must become Krishna conscious and always keep Krishna prominent within the core of his heart. In Bhagavad Gita 9:34, the Lord advises that one always think of him Man mana bhava mad bhakto mad yaji mam namaskuru. In this way, by always being Krishna minded or Krishna conscious, one can surpass the influence of Maya. Mayam etam tarantite. Because Rantidev was Krishna conscious, he was not under the influence of the illusory energy. The word swapnavat is significant in this connection because in the material world, the mind is absorbed in materialistic activities. When one is asleep, many contradictory activities appear in one's dreams. When one awakens, however, these activities automatically merge into the mind. Similarly, as long as one is under the influence of the material energy, he makes many plans and schemes. But when one is Krishna conscious, such dreamlike plans automatically disappear. Okay, Krishna. So we are reading from the 9th canto, chapter number 21, text number 17. This is the story of King Rantidev, where we read about his pure devotional service. And I'm sure that you all know the story, but I'll just take a revision. That Rantidev, he was holding a fast for 48 days. He had not eaten, he had not drunk anything. And he was approached just at the time when he was about to break the fast. And just at that time, he was approached by a Brahmana, a Chandala, and some other guests, Atithis. And we see that how he was nearly on the verge of death, Rantidev. But still, Rantidev, he parted with his food. He gave his food, share of his food. So we can see that he was glorified for that. That he sacrificed, you know, his... And it's not an easy thing when we say that, you know, to sacrifice. Especially when one is fasting for 48 days. You know, it's not easy. And enormous sacrifice, we can see that. And... You know, it's, sometimes it is easier to distribute the holy name, but difficult to distribute Mahaprasad from our plates. We can give a talk on, you know, how Sankirtan movement is to be distributed and all. But it comes to fasting or Nirjal Ekadashi, and we are sitting with some rabadi sweet in our plates, and some other devotee comes and he's not have nothing on his plate, we will think twice before distributing the sweet, is it not? It's not easy. You know, especially not just one day, but 48 days he had not eaten anything. No water, no food, nothing. And he gave charity. How? Not cribbling, not with, you know, cringingly that, oh, why did you come at this time? It's not like that. In fact, Bhagavatam explains this just a few verses back. He says, Na kamaye ham gatim ishvarat param ashtardi yuktam apunar bhavam va. He's saying like that na kamaye ham gatim ishvarat param. I do not want liberation from this world. Ashtardi yuktam apunar bhavam va. I do not want mystic perfections. And he says, I do not want, I do not even want impersonal liberation. I do not even want to go to the abode of the Lord. Then what does he want? He says, Artim prapadye akhila deha bhajam. I want to suffer for all the people in this world. I want to take their sins and suffer in this world. Artim prapadye akhila deha bhajam. All the people. And he says, Antahastito. Yam bhavantya dukkha. And I want to be here only in this material world, suffering the miseries for the sake of all the other people. So we can see that Rantidev is expressing his intense pleasure in distributing what he has, whatever little bit he had. So he was not giving cringingly, he was giving with great pleasure. So we can see the heart of a devotee. How is it possible for making such enormous sacrifices? That's only possible for a devotee. You know, only a person who has achieved such an intense state of devotion for the Lord can actually make such amazing sacrifices. And in fact, this is the qualification that is necessary to uncover Maya. Krishna says that in the Gita. Devi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya. Krishna says in the Gita, Naham prakash sarvasya yoga maya samavritaha. That I cannot be understood. No one can understand me because I cover up their intelligence. I cover up their consciousness with Maya, Yoga Maya. So that is Krishna is saying that this is, there is a covering over our eyes. The Jivatma, being a pure spirit soul, you know, is covered by these anarthas of selfishness. He doesn't want to share. He just wants to keep things for himself. So unless and until these impurities are not given away, unless we do not learn to sacrifice what we have, it may be anything. It could be some prasad, mahaprasad on our plates. Two, maybe the house that we live in. Could be, you know, the money that we are earning. Could be the position that we are in. All, whatever we have, everything must be used in the service of God. Until and unless we do not give up our attachment for these things, we cannot get Krishna. So we can see that Rantidev is establishing such a high standard. He's explaining that what it takes to achieve Krishna. Yeah, that we have to. A big house, money, all these are not bad. But attachment to these are bad. Therefore, it is said that, you know, in this world is like an ocean. We're drowning in this ocean. When you're swimming in the water, you know, some people may be having some experience. You know, when you are, say, pushed into the water, when you learn to swim, what are you supposed to do with the water? You're supposed to do what? You don't grab the water, you don't pull it towards you. You push it, is it not? When you push the water away from you, you push it back, then you move forward and you cross. You can cross over. Similarly, wealth, money, position, power, control, all these things should not be used for sense gratification. We should not pull it towards us. We should push it. And the more we push it towards God, then we can cross over this material ocean. So that is the message here. We can see the example of Rantidev. That on the verge of death, but he is parting with his food. And it's not that he had some stock in his lockers or something like that, you know, which he could again take out and eat. He had nothing left. He had no clue as to what he's going to eat. I mean, it is written here, I mean, in this pastime, that Rantidev was completely famished. He was on the verge of death, absolutely. And therefore, that's what it is. What is the explicit standard of pure devotional service. He was not a brahmachari, he was actually a grastha. So we can see that such high standards can be exhibited by anyone and everyone. It does not take to be renounced. It does not take the color of a cloth to be renounced. One can be renounced amidst all opulences. Rantidev, who was like a king, he was a king actually, and he could exhibit such high standards of renunciation. So it is just not renunciation, but it is actually what? It is actually devotion. Because there are many people who can be renounced. Like we see Ravan, he was a big Tyagi. He was making sacrifices of all his heads. One after another, he was cutting off his heads and putting it into the fire. So we have seen examples of great Tyagis. We have seen examples of great Vairagis. Ravana was a great Tapasvi, right? Hiranyakashipu was such a great Tapasvi that Brahma came to him and he told him that you've got the world record for tapasya, world record number one. No one will defeat your record ever. In the past there has been no one, and in the future also there will be no one as good as you for doing tapasya. But we can see that he had no devotion. So here Rantidev is exhibiting not just dry tapasya or renunciation, but actually he's doing it with devotion. Why? Because the prayer, by his prayers we can understand, he's not doing it for name, fame, prestige or position or power. Because all these things can be manifested by all these demons also. You know. So therefore, it is a very important principle that austerities and all these things must be done with an attitude of service to the Lord. Not cringingly or not for anything else, but for service, simply for service and nothing else in return. Because he says, na kamaye aham, that I do not desire anything in return for what services I am giving for others. So if we are on that standard, then surely we can get the audience of Krishna. Krishna will manifest immediately in front of us. Because naturally, Krishna being the supremely pure person, pure people always like to associate with pure people. I mean, none of, you know, devotees would go and mix with some people standing in front of Bharati Vidya Bhavan, you know, smoking, drinking. No devotee will go with them and say, aur kaisa chal raha hai? Sab kuch theek chal raha hai? Kaisa chal raha hai? You know, they will not just go and mix and mingle with such kind of people. Certainly not. Unless you want to go and distribute a book to them. But not for, you know, having some fun time. Why? Because that's the nature that people, like-minded people, like to be together. Birds of a feather flock together. So similarly, Krishna being the supremely pure person, he would not like to, you know, simply come and associate with selfish people. Because he is supremely pure. Why should he just come and mingle with anybody and everybody? So that's what it takes to have the audience of Krishna. What is that? This standard of Rantidev. So there are various such stories we can see. You know, in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, we've seen that wonderful story of Dhanurdas. That Dhanurdas, he was very dear to Ramanuja. And all the, you know, the other disciples of Ramanuja, they started becoming a little envious of Dhanurdas, thinking that we have given our lives for our Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, you know, and why is it that he is not giving us so much importance? In fact, he is giving this Dhanurdas so much of importance. So Ramanujacharya, he could get some, you know, idea of what's going on in the minds of his resident devotees. So one day he made a plan that he tore the kopins, the underwear of the resident devotees. And the next morning, they started fighting with each other over their undergarments. So that same night, Ramanujacharya, he told some of his brahmachari disciples that, please, I know this Dhanurdas, you know, he is very attached and very fallen person. I want to expose him to the world. I want the world to know what kind of attached grihastha he is. And therefore, I want you brahmacharis to go to his house and secretly steal the belongings from his house. So they said, all right, that's fine, that we'll do that. So Dhanurdas was called from his house to meet Ramanuja. And while the brahmacharis go on the secret mission to the house. So it was midnight. And they peep through the window. And they find Ramanujacharya's wife sleeping on the cot next to the window. So the brahmacharis, they think, okay, this is a good time to steal. So slowly, like, they put their hands through the window and they start removing the earrings of the wife of Ramanuja. So she comes to know there's somebody fiddling, yeah, with my earrings. Somebody's taking out my jewels. So she slightly opened her eyes and she saw, who is it? She realized that brahmachari is from Guru Maharaj's ashram. So, oh my God, what is this? But nevertheless, she thought, let them take it, because ultimately it's Guru Maharaj's disciples. Let them take. So after they stole half of her jewelry from one side of her face, she thought, let me turn over and give the other part of her jewels also. So she turned over, but the brahmacharis became very frightened and they, you know, ran back and hid behind some trees. So in the meanwhile, Ramanujacharya spoke to Dhanurdas and sent him back, said that now you go back to your ashram, to your house, and, you know, settle down. So Dhanurdas, when he comes back home, his wife opens the door and he finds that his wife is wearing jewels only on half of her face. So Dhanurdas asks, what is this? Why are you dressed up so weirdly? Why are you having these jewels only on half of your face? And she says, well, do you know that it's quite a surprising thing happened today? He says, what happened? Guru Maharaj's disciple brahmacharis had come and they were stealing my ornaments. So he says, really? But then why did only half of the jewels they took? He says, because I wanted to give them the other half and I turned, but they got frightened and they ran away. And Dhanurdas becomes very angry and wild at his wife and he says, you foolish lady, how come you have only allowed half of your jewels to be stolen? Couldn't you turn slowly and gradually? You frightened them away. We couldn't render service to Guru Maharaj. And the wife said, I'm sorry, I tried my best, but, you know, I couldn't do that service. I apologize. And, you know, on that side of the, on the other side of the trees, you know, they hear the conversation and they understand the glory of Dhanurdas, that even though he was living in great opulences, he was so completely detached from all these material things. So they come back to the ashram and Ramanujacharya asks them, so what is your observation? And he says, Dhanurdas is extremely glorious because he is so detached. Today we have actually understood, we have got a very important lesson, that actually detachment is possible in any place. Yeah, and we thought that we are renounced, but actually, Dhanurdas is far more renounced. And they thanked their spiritual master for making such an arrangement by which they could understand their position and understand the glory of Dhanurdas. They remembered that very morning they were fighting for their undergarments. Whereas they saw that even though Dhanurdas was living in kind of opulence, but he was completely detached from his material facilities. So we can see that how, there are so many such examples of amazing, amazing sacrifices. In our drama festival, devotees had performed this Mayur Dhwaj pastime. So the story goes that once Arjuna was defeated by one king's son, the king's name was Mayur Dhwaj. So Arjuna, he becomes shocked. He was surprised that how is it possible that someone could defeat me? I am protected by Krishna personally. I am empowered by Krishna personally. Then how is it possible that somebody could defeat me? It's not possible. Something is wrong here. So he goes to Krishna and he says, how is that possible? You are my protector and this has happened. How is that possible? So Krishna said, this person who has defeated you is son of an even greater devotee. Even greater devotee. Will I ever get to see his glories? So the Lord said, I will demonstrate. So the Lord took the form of a Brahmana. Arjuna took a form of his, you know, colleague. They both went to Mayurdhwaj. And there, Mayurdhwaj's son is giving a report to Mayurdhwaj, saying that I defeated Arjuna, the great warrior. And the son is chastising him. You foolish boy, your arrogance. You have offended a great devotee of the Lord. He's personally protected by Krishna. How dare you do that? You must apologize. And this kind of talk was going on. At that time, the Brahmana appears. And he says, I have come for charity. I'm a Brahmana, you have to give me charity. And Mayurdhwaj says, what can I give you in charity? And the Brahmana says, I want half of your body in charity. And he says, half of the body in charity. Okay. And what else? He says, and that must be cut. The body must be cut by your own son. Your son should cut your body in half. And Mayurdhwaj, he says, well, fine, that's good, that's fine. I mean, to take care of the guests is one of the most important dharmas of a grihastha. And I will do it for sure. So then he sits down, and Arjuna is also watching what is happening, and he prepares the son. Son, please take the axe and prepare to cut my body in half, beginning from the head. And Mayurdhwaj is sitting, and his son is with tears in his eyes. He takes the axe, about to perform the act of dharma. And just at that time, the Brahmana, Krishna in disguise of a Brahmana, sees some tears in the eyes of the king, Mayurdhwaj. And he says, stop, stop. What is this? I don't want charity given cringingly. I mean, you're shedding tears while giving charity? I don't want this kind of charity. We are authentic Brahmanas. We don't take charity like this. So at that time, Mayurdhwaj says, I am not crying because I'm making such a great sacrifice. I'm giving half of my body. I'm crying tears because I'm thinking that only half of my body is being used in your service. So at that time, Arjuna standing there, he was amazed. He was simply amazed to see that what is a standard, explicit standard of devotional service of Mayurdhwaj. So Krishna demonstrated that this is what it takes to get the audience of Krishna. You know, it's not easy, but this is the standard. Prabhupada also said that if you have a desire to eat even one gulab jamun, you have to come back into this world. Because Krishna is very merciful and he fulfills all desires. It's not that he's trying to be cruel to us, but just that if we have a desire, so be it. But gulab jamuns, the desire for gulab jamun is a selfish desire in one sense. So this is a place where we can actually selfishly enjoy. So therefore, by practicing our religious duties, you know, by following the process of Krishna consciousness, you know, we can actually be elevated like that. And therefore, we can see that any ashram, whether it be grihastha, brahmachari, vanapras, sannyas, there is extreme facility, there is all facility for becoming detached and becoming Krishna conscious. We have seen the examples of Randidev, who was a grihastha. And we've seen that how we welcome the guests, atithi, it is said, atithi devo bhava. That especially for a grihastha, if a guest comes, they have to be very, very careful in that they serve the guest so well that he goes away satisfied. If the guest coming to the house is not served well, it is explained, the atithi comes, he gives his pap karma to the house and takes away the punya of the house with him. So therefore, a grihastha must be very careful that he serves properly. In fact, in every ashram, there is a particular dharma which they have to follow. So here we are seeing that he is performing his atithi dharma, a dharma for serving the guests so dutifully, in a very high standard. So when we hear such stories, they seem like mythology to us. They seem fictional. That how is it possible that people are making such great sacrifices? But actually, the more we feel that it is fiction, it only indicates how far we are from actually the true standards. Because why do we find it fictional? Because it seems ridiculous and it feels impossible, is it not? And when we are so far away from the ideal standard, to that degree, we'll feel that it is fictional. It's not possible for anybody to make such a great sacrifice. You know, giving up food after fasting for 48 days, it's not easy. We have seen even in Mahabharata, Parikshit Maharaj, he got angry when he was denied water by Shamik Rishi. Is it not? When Shamik Rishi was sitting in meditation, he was not received well and he was thirsty. So everybody understands that actually when one is thirsty and hungry, what happens? One loses one's temper. Gussa aata hai. Is it not? And therefore, Parikshit Maharaj is also making clear to Shukdev Goswami, because later on when he gets a curse from Shamik Rishi's son Sringi, he goes to Shukdev Goswami and asks him that please speak Bhagavat. While Shukdev Goswami is speaking Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj is telling Shukdev Goswami that please don't cut short on the stories, thinking that so many days have gone by, I have not eaten food, I have not drunk water, and in my past I have actually offended one sadhu because I was not given water. So you do not please think that now I am sitting without food and water and I may also perform the same offensive act by garlanding you with a snake. So make sure I am not afflicted by thirst and hunger. I simply want what? To hear Krishna Katha. So he's making clear, because food, thirst and all these things, you know, hunger and thirst are very difficult to tolerate. Sometimes it is easier to give money, but it is difficult to share what's in our plate. You know, it's more difficult. Therefore, many times we may find also people have given out everything, but they still can't, you know, sacrifice something which is on the plate. It's very difficult. So here he is shown the highest standard of renunciation. You know, like that. And therefore, somebody may think, how is this possible for us to reach such a high standard? It seems almost impossible that in this life I can actually reach this standard. There's a very interesting story spoken by the devotees of Ramanuja Sampradaya, where Ramanujacharya was telling a story of Vibhishan surrendering to Lord Ram. So while he was speaking the katha, this Dhanurdas, whom I just spoke about, he just got up from the assembly hall, from the satsang, and he just walked out. And Ramanuja just stops him and he says, Dhanurdas, why are you leaving the audience? How can you just walk out from a satsang? So Dhanurdas says, no, you know what you are saying about this Vibhishan getting the grace of Lord Ramachandra and all that, Lord Ramachandra is very merciful and he speaks this verse, you know, Sakra Deva Prapannoyam Tavasmi Tiyachate and all that. But actually, we don't stand a chance, because everybody knows that Vibhishan was a great soul all throughout his life. Even while in Lanka, Vibhishan was known to worship Lord Ram. Where is the surprise if he comes and surrenders to Lord Ram and he gets the grace of Lord Ram? We stand no chance, because we are very fallen. We don't stand a chance. We can't get the grace of Lord Ramchandra. It's only meant for those people who are very pious, like Vibhishan. I don't see any element of grace or mercy on the part of Sri Ram, because Vibhishan was already a great soul. So Ramanacharya said, no, please, take a seat. And he says, when Vibhishan comes alone to surrender, when he comes to surrender to Lord Ramachandra, he does not come alone. He came, the Ramayana explains, he came with four other Rakshasas. Vibhishan was in the mode of goodness. He was a pure devotee, even if you may accept that way, that's right. But the other Rakshasas were in the mode of ignorance and passion. Is it not? But they also received the protection and shelter of Lord Sri Ramachandra. Why? Because they were associated with Vibhishan. And therefore, even though we are not qualified, the Acharya, the Guru is qualified, and we are all taking shelter of Guru. And therefore, because the Guru is receiving the shelter of the Lord, because we are connected, he is given us shelter, we will also receive the grace of Sri Ramachandra. So that is therefore the hope that, you know, that we have in Krishna consciousness, that even though these Rantidev stories and all may seem so far-fetched and so ridiculously, far away from our standards, higher than our standards, that we may feel it impossible and we may tend to become discouraged. But there is a lot of hope if we take shelter of the Lord. But what is the process? The process is the Naam Sankirtan. Therefore, Krishna is quoting the Lord here, the Gita here, Srila Prabhupada. He says, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hai Andhakar Yaha Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Adhikar. So therefore, we see the illusion, that is Maya. What is this illusion? Yeah. So this illusion is explained. It is when we turn away from Krishna. That is illusion. To think that we are independent of Krishna, that is illusion. Therefore, in the Bhagavatam, it is said, Bhayam dvitiya abhinivesha tasyat ishad apetasya viparyayo smritihi. That what is bhay? What is this maya? Why are people afraid? Why are people insecure in this world? So it is explained that because when a living entity turns his face away from Krishna, then he sees illusion, then he sees his shadow. When you turn your face away from the sun, you see shadow. Tam maya to bhud aj bhaje tvam bhaktai kayesham guru devatatma. What is the solution for maya? To be dedicated to the service of guru. To be dedicated to the service of deva, of the Lord. To take the instructions of the guru as one's life and soul, that is the solution for overcoming this illusory state of existence. The Atma is thinking, I am the enjoyer in this world. The Atma is thinking, I am this body. And we're thinking in terms of me and mine. That is illusion. Once I was doing one course, and at the end of the course, one lady comes to me. Grasta lady with few kids. She's coming and asking me, is it wrong to pray for our own family? See, we are not praying for ourselves. You said that you should not pray for selfish things and all. But is it wrong to pray for, you know, our children and for our husbands? Is it wrong? And I said, why just your family? Why don't you pray for all families? I mean, we feel like praying for our own family, our own husband, our own wife, our own children. Why? Because we have that connection of I and mine. The conception that I am this body is still there. We are not free from that. And therefore we feel my family, my children, my husbands, and others, the neighbors, don't care. Whether they go to hell, we don't care. But our family must prosper. And that is the skin disease, in one sense, actually. So why not pray for all families, for the whole world? And when you pray for the whole world, our family is also included in that. And therefore we'll also get the grace. Our family will get the grace. Is it not? So therefore, that is the standard of spirituality, to come on the level of the soul, not to think on the platform of the body and the connections with the bodies. We have that identification with the body. And spirituality means to transcend these concepts. It's not that we have to give up family, we have to give up house, we have to give up position, we have to give up wealth. These things are not necessary to be given up, but they have to be the attachment for these things, to selfishly enjoy that. That has to be given up. And therefore, we can see that how Parikshit Maharaj, he took up to this process. That when he realized that he had only 7 days to live, he gave up everything. He gave up everything, went to Shukdev Goswami, and he heard Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, he says, Tasteva meghasya paravaresho vyasakta chittasya griheshu abhikshanam nirveda mulo dvijishaparupo bhayam prasakto bhayam asudatte yatra prasakto bhayam asudatte. So he says that I have been unfortunately cursed to die within 7 days and seven nights. But actually, I see that as the grace of the Lord. I have been cursed and I have been put in such a frightening situation to die in 7 days and seven nights. It's only an arrangement of the Lord so that I can become serious in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, I would on my own not be able to surrender. So the Lord sometimes puts his devotees in such difficult situations, frightening situations. Is it not? We've seen that. Just like, you know, at home, sometimes parents may put their children in frightening situations. Sometimes the parents may tell their children, you know, don't, like if the child is trying to, you know, jump out of the car, you say, just see, look at the beggar on the street. Look at that beggar, uska haat nahi hai, uske pair nahi hai. You'll become like him. You want to become like him? And the child will become afraid and sit quietly in the car. And then he will go on with his business. The parents also sometimes. I heard one devotee tell one, you know, anecdote. Once one boy, he goes to the father and he says, Pitaji, agar main distinction le aaun, to aap mujhe kya doge? So the father says, distinction? Theek hai, fir main aapko four-wheeler leke dunga. Achha. अब पिताजी अगर अभी इस बार का रिजल्ट थोड़ा सा अगर क्वेश्चन पेपर टफ आ गया और मैं फर्स्ट डिस्टिंक्शन नहीं मिला अगर फर्स्ट क्लास ही आया तो आप क्या दोगे? फोर व्हीलर नहीं मिलेगा, फिर टू व्हीलर के साथ खुश रहना पड़ेगा तुमको. बोला अच्छा. और पिताजी अगर मैं फेल हो गया तो? फेल हो गया तो फिर फोर व्हीलर नहीं, टू व्हीलर नहीं, थ्री व्हीलर लेके दूंगा. मतलब रिक्शा चलाते रहना. देयर इज नो नीड टू स्टडी, आई विल टेक यू आउट, यू बिकम अ रिक्शा ड्राइवर. You will become a rickshaw driver, I tell you, if you fail and flunk this exam. You know, sometimes we see that, you know, parents, sometimes they may frighten the children, you know, by giving such kind of things. So therefore, Parikshit Maharaj is saying like that. Nirveda moolam dvijashap rupo bhayam yattra prasakto bhayam ashudatte, that I have, you know, developed detachment simply because God has made this arrangement of a curse of a brahmana. So what he did, he went to the forest and surrendered to Shukadeva Goswami and told him to speak Bhagavat. 7 days, 7 nights, he didn't eat, he didn't sleep, heard Srimad Bhagavatam from pure liberated soul like Shukadeva Goswami. And what happened? Then he speaks the verse. Tam mopayatam pratyantu vipra gangej devi dhrachittamisham dujopashishtast kahakuhakastakshakova dashattalam gayata vishnu gatha. That let this, you know, snake come and bite me, I have no fear of death anymore. So then what does he want? What does he want? He says that I only wish that you great saintly souls continue talking and discussing about the glories of Vishnu, Vishnu Gatha. Dashatalam Gayata Vishnu Gatha. Just continue just chanting the glories of Lord Vishnu, that's all I want. So we can see that all kinds of illusion, all kinds of fearful material situations can be overcome by this process of simply hearing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. So this is the process which Srila Prabhupada has given us, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna, and taking shelter of Guru and accepting the service of the Guru as one's life and soul. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanande. Hare Hare Bhagavad.